Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here to the Travis Turner Show. We thank you so much for being with us here on 1340 WNBS, our show, streaming live at 1340WNBS.com. We move high speed thanks to our friends at Time Warner Cable. Our friend Ed Chapman is going to join us coming up around 10 o'clock or so this morning. And we're going to get to a number of different things probably before we get to Ed here. But I find myself all the time, and you try very hard not to. And I think we do, honestly, we do a pretty good job in covering a wide range of topics here. Of course, our first, last, and always mission has been our varsity athletes, our varsity programs here with Murray and Callaway County. Certainly, while, you know, respecting very much the fact that our man Neil Bradley is the voice of the racers around here and around these parts and does a fantastic job there, we're going to keep you in touch with what's going on at Murray State, especially through our friend Lindy Suter, the racer insider. Things that interest our folks, the Kentucky Wildcats, the Louisville Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals, so on and so forth. We're gonna do those things. Of course, you know, Major League Baseball is a major staple for us here, but we try and do a lot of things and cover a lot of ground and hopefully do that pretty well. But there are certain topics that just always grab me and pull me back in. The NCAA and its issues, often one of those that just kind of keeps getting me back there. And another one for me is, I don't know really how to phrase this, but there are these people out there, and some of them are friends of mine. I'll be honest, I have friends that hold these positions. But there are these people out there that have positioned themselves as, I don't know, the it's not a moral issue, but it's as if they've put themselves in charge as the kid police, the adolescence police, the childhood police, I don't know, about how kids spend their time related to sports. And where we're headed here is and I'll bring my friend Ed Chapman in to talk about this a little bit when he joins us, but this issue of specialization, and I'm working from was put in front of me today a Washington Post piece that was posted a few days ago. I think it was published on June 22nd, but here's the headline: playing one sport year round isn't smart, even for kids who want to go pro. Now, the whole pro thing, we can get back into that in just a minute. But here's my deal. I don't know that there's a child out there that needs to be focused on any one thing when they're a kid. You know, and if we're talking about kids, if we're defining by under 10, under 12, whatever you want to do, I agree wholeheartedly that kids need a wide range of interests. And what happens when you start hearing the conversation about specialization in sports, people just focus on sports. But children's lives and people's lives need to be well-rounded and include something other than sports. We need various interests and passions. You want to talk about balance. You know, you need a little bit of everything here. You love music. You love movies. You love gardening, landscaping, you know. You love travel. It could be any number of things that are, you know, are passionate for you. You know, I was talking to my buddy Brad Burns this weekend, and Brad's kids are really an interesting bunch because they kind of span the globe of interests. And what is really interesting, and I'll have him, when he comes on Wednesday, I'll have him talk about this a little bit because obviously he can tell it better and more accurately than I could. What I'll share here for you observationally is just what I see more than what I know. But you look at Brad's children, and his oldest daughter is really into things like theater and dance, and she's just really a brilliant mind. All of his kids are pretty smart. I'm going to give all the credit to his wife Nancy on that front, But the kids are very smart. They're very talented. But Lucy is not really, you know, the oldest daughter, she's not really into sports. Her world is other interests and passions. And then of course you've got Hank, and you guys know Hank. He's a regular contributor here on the show. Hank loves baseball, maybe as much as any human being I have ever known. And I know he works at it harder than any person I've ever known, especially per his age as an 11-year-old. But Hank also loves basketball. Hank also loves the theater. He loves the stage. He's a natural performer, as you might have heard here on the show. So he has these very diverse, these varied interests. Their daughter, Nora, is a tremendous gymnastics talent and student. And so they just have all of these different areas that they pursue, but gymnastics is not her only passion. And then you've got Duke, he's the cleanup hitter in the family here, the youngest child and the youngest son, and Duke loves, he's started to love baseball. I got to see him in his last T-ball game this weekend. But Duke's maxing out as a five-year-old. Duke loves life. Duke loves play. It's what five-year-olds do, you know. So, but one thing that I've seen in the Burns children that impresses me very, very much is they are very devoted to their craft in terms of how hard they work at the things they are passionate about. It doesn't mean they're single-minded. It doesn't mean they're of solo focus. But when they invest in something, they're in. They're all in into what they pursue. But there's this piece, again, from the Washington Post that encouraged me to go down this particular road again, written by Fred Bowen. And, well, I'll just read you what Fred wrote here. It's summertime. That means long, hot days, no school, and summer camps. Lots of kids spend at least some of the summer at camps. There are overnight camps, theater camps, and, of course, sports camps. Some kids spend the whole year playing one sport, such as soccer, baseball, or basketball, and what do they do during the summer? They go to a camp and keep playing that sport. So what's wrong with that? There's a lot wrong with specializing at a young age, Fred writes. It's much better for kids to play a variety of sports and use the summer to sample new ones. A study published in the journal Sports Health found that for most sports, there is no evidence that intense training and specialization before age 13 or 14 are necessary to achieve elite status. Risks of early sports specialization include higher rates of injury and quitting sports at a young age. How big is the risk of injury if you specialize in one sport? A Loyola University Chicago study of 1,200 youth athletes found that kids who specialized in one sport were 70% to 93% more likely to be injured than multi-sport athletes. That's a lot. Kids who specialize in one sport also get burned out. An Ohio State University study found that kids who played a single sport were more likely to quit their sport and be physically inactive as adults. Oh, no. But you don't have to specialize in one sport when you're a kid to have a chance to play in college or be a pro. Now, this is my favorite one, and this is the punchline for me. Fred says, no, sorry, but I have to talk about another study. This one was a survey of college athletes by the American Society of Sports Medicine. The study found that 88% of college athletes played more than one sport when they were kids. And here's my favorite. Look at this year's National Football League draft. 26 of the 31 first-round picks, including Jared Goff, the player drafted ahead of all others, had been multi-sport athletes in high school, according to Tracking Football. It isn't just the first round. 224 of the 256 draft picks had played more than one sport in high school. More than a third of the drafted players were three-sport athletes. Oh my, Fred, you mean the top physical athletes in the world were able to play multiple sports in high school? Hoo boy. And this is the crazy thing about those who are worried about people who specialize. This is I saw it after LeBron James won the championship. I saw people tweet, hey, LeBron played football in high school. Now let's consider LeBron James. I wonder if LeBron would have been a good basketball player if he'd only played basketball in high school. Ponders, thinks, considers. Why, yes, I think LeBron would have been a good basketball player if he had only played basketball in high school. Now let's consider these NFL draft picks, including number one pick Jared Goff. Had these guys only played football, these NFL draft picks, let's all think about this for a minute. I wonder if these NFL players, if they had just played football in high school, would they have made it to the NFL? Why, yes, I suspect they would have made it to the NFL. You know, if you believe in your argument, and again, I'm not for specialization. Let's just be clear about this. But I'm certainly accepting of people doing what it is they want to do. Now, I don't like specialization where parents are forcing it on kids, but if a kid chooses to play one sport, you know, the fact that people are trying to stigmatize these athletes and these families, I don't like that at all. You want to talk about mob rule now, because you think kids should play multiple sports, you're going to cast aspersions and you're going to run down people who specialize. Why don't you move on? Why don't you move on? Why don't you see if you can't handle your business a little bit better? Because here's the thing about kids, and I can't even believe they bother to bring this into it. No kid, no 10-year-old, no parents of a 10-year-old should be worried about whether or not a kid's going to be a pro. That's absurd out of hand. I don't care if you play one sport. I don't care if you play seven. We don't know that at 10. Now, certainly we can see extreme talent at 10. You betcha we can. But what it takes to be a pro in terms of not only the aptitude, but also the attitude, also what it may take physically. By the way, let's go back to this clown and the NFL draft picks. They all played multiple sports. Yeah, they all played multiple sports, yeah. Well, guess what, dude? All of the linemen are going to be 6'4", 290. All of the receivers are going to run an average of 4'4", in the 40. All of the quarterbacks are going to be able to throw a football 70 yards on a rope. That's why they're professional football players, brother. Not because they played multiple sports in high school, but because they can. You know, you've got to be to be a pro, you have got to be a tremendous physical talent. In football and basketball, it takes typically tremendous physicality. You have to have the physical tools. You have to. In baseball, you have to have the skill level. It helps if you have the physical size and wherewithal, but you have to have the skill. And, you know, we can talk about what it takes to be a professional golfer, a professional hockey player. By the way, I wonder if they did a study of the professional golfers. He likes studies. Let me give you some studies. Let's do a study on professional golfers. Most of those guys play a lot of golf. Don't shoot me. But most of those guys play a lot of golf. That's how you get good enough to be a pro golfer. But everybody thinks they've got it figured out. Let me weigh in here. I got to. It's crazy, man. These people, they play one sport, play sport all the time. They're crazy, man. Kid's going to get hurt. Kid's going to get burned out. Maybe. Or maybe not. Maybe not. And that's the thing. Let's say that you have a kid. We'll use baseball. You got a kid who loves baseball. He plays baseball all the time. Do there need to be some protocols and controls in place for that kid so he does not hurt himself? He doesn't overuse his arm. He needs to be able to step away and have some other interests. What if the kid loves baseball and he loves to play the piano? What if he loves music? He's a guitar player. You know, what if he loves to go to the lake? You know, people don't have to be just and that's what's happened is they've really, you know, you've got this anti-specialization group. They've demonized kids and families who just want to pursue one thing. And here's the other thing about playing multiple sports. There's so many kids who do play multiple sports. And again, more studies here. This is my unscientific study. And I see this. And other coaches will tell you what we see at the high school level. We have kids who play multiple sports, and they don't give a rip about either one. They don't care about any of the sports they play. I play three sports. You're on three teams, dude. You're on three teams. You ain't working in a weight room. You ain't working on your skill level. You're not doing anything to get better. I play multiple sports, though. That's great. You're brutal at all of them. So congratulations that you're on all of the teams. And that's the flip side of it. What are you going to do? What's going to be your level of investment? Because what we're talking about, and this is where it drives me insane, that these people who want to preach playing multiple sports, that then they want to talk about pros. Look, if you want kids to have an experience of everything, then that's all you need to say, is that you think children need to play a lot of different sports. And by the way, I agree. My kids play multiple sports. I played multiple sports. I'm a believer in playing multiple sports, but I'm also a believer in whatever you do, invest in and commit to, because if it's not serious, then it's just fun. Hey, we can play multiple sports in the backyard, and that's what's been lost. You want to talk about something that needs to be discussed. It's not about what you do in an organized way in front of people at the park. What are kids doing? What do we got kids doing in the backyard? You know, me and my buddy Ed Chapman, who's going to roll in here on the show in a little bit, Ed and I played every kind of ball you can imagine in the backyard. You know, we grew up playing, you know, 12, 16, 20 organized baseball games a year when we were kids. We grew up playing 10 or 12 organized basketball games. You know, Little League football was going to be 6-8 games. But we never stopped playing. And that's what I, you know, if you would want some advice from me on what is good for your kids, what is good for your kids is to play. With the only thing adults are doing is making, hey, you guys okay? Don't get too hot. You guys need something to drink. You guys hungry? And you just let them by themselves have creative play. That is what's going to keep kids from burning out and loving stuff. And that's one of the things that when I watch my son, because my son, he plays multiple sports, but my oldest, he's committed to baseball. He loves baseball. And we were in a tournament this weekend, and what I'm always looking for, does he want to be around the game when he's not playing the game? And we played a game late yesterday afternoon over in Mayfield. We came back to church for his youth group, and after their lesson, what they do, they went outside and they played pickup baseball out back. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to play. And of course, it's, you know, they're not on a field. There's no bases. There's no umpires. There's no fans. But they went out and they played ball. And so when you see kids who gravitate to the things that they love, you know, when I see these things about specialization and, oh, don't do, you know, I think about my wife's point guard, Macy Turley, out at Murray High. You know, Macy's sister Morgan, she was a basketball player, also a softball player. Her sister Mackenzie plays basketball, but man, she's a softball player. That's her deal. Macy's a basketball player. That's what she does. She's a basketball player. Pretty good one too. And you know, she was telling my wife the other night, you know, how hard the dead period was on her, because what Macy wants to do, Macy wants to be in the gym, Macy wants to play, Macy wants to get better. And those qualities, those are not things that you want to hammer out of people. You just don't. I mean, you want them to be able to pursue the things that they're passionate about. So, you know, do people need to be aware of moderation and having common sense and you know, letting your kids have fun? Absolutely. Absolutely. And this that should be the mission right there. Is that we're gonna? What can we do to make sure that kids are enjoying themselves? What can we do? You do that. Now you're doing the job. You know, how many sports they play shouldn't matter as long as they're having fun. Are you enjoying yourself? Are you being fulfilled by this? Are you being improved by this? Is this teaching you important life lessons? Those are the things that are happening. Then you're all good. You know, you're all good. But we and of course we have the ability to. You know, we've all got a platform. We've all got stuff that we can get out there. But, I mean, everybody's got to have a say on what everybody else is doing. Man, I hate that. Leave it alone. If you believe in playing multiple sports, play them rascals. If you believe in pursuing one thing with all you've got, pursue it. It's all right. I mean, this is one of those things that I just don't really get it. And again, for those people who want to be anti-specialization, you can do that, but don't bring pros into it. Don't bring you know what pros are? Pros are unique. Pros are unique. They are unique in their talent, but they're also unique in their work ethic. They may play multiple sports, but I guarantee you the one that they're a pro in got plenty of attention. Otherwise, they are just some sort of physical freak. But Joe Average don't show up and say, well, I play 10 sports, and look, I'm a pro in all of them. Doesn't happen. You know, if everybody could do it, then there'd be a lot more Bo Jacksons. Bo wouldn't be such a legend because he was such an unbelievable physical phenomenon. But anyway, 20 minutes is longer than I meant to go there. I was just going to do 5 or 6 minutes and then later pull Ed in on it. But that's one of those topics that always jumps up and grabs me, it seems, and always have some pretty strong feelings about that. But and everybody's going to have an opinion, I think. I mean, everybody that's had kids, everybody that's had kids go through sports, I mean, people are just going to, you know, they're going to have a an opinion one way or another on it, and it's a pretty interesting topic. And if Ed wants a crack at it, we'll give him a shot at it when he comes on with us here coming up in hour two. We are almost to hour two, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get us to another commercial break right here. When we come back, I'll touch on two or three different things, some of those that we'll put on Ed's plate as well coming up here in hour two. But we've just about got hour one in the book, so let's grab a break. We'll hear from some of our great sponsors. Back with more here on 1340 WNBS.
Are you hungry for a barbecue sauce? Then, man, you are hungry for Allegro's Tennessee-style honey barbecue sauce. Allegro is not just marinades, it's barbecue sauces, too. Allegro's Tennessee-style honey barbecue sauce will add excitement and hoo-ha to your grilling experience. Allegro has redefined traditional barbecue sauce with a distinctive spice, hickory smoke blend, and real honey. Use it as you grill to sweeten and caramelize. Keep folks coming back for more, and that ain't a bad thing. Pick up a bottle of Allegro's Tennessee Style Honey Barbecue Sauce or one of their two other flavors, Tennessee Style Spicy Barbecue and Tennessee Style Original. Man, is it good. You can find Allegro Tennessee Style Honey Barbecue Sauce and all other flavors of Allegro at your local grocer. For recipes, check them out on Facebook and at AllegroMarinade.com. When you're looking for a barbecue sauce that is downright tasty, man, don't you know, it's Allegro.
We love to see you.
This is Lori Taylor Kurd from David Taylor Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. This month, we are celebrating our Drive and Discover event. With approved credit, we are offering up to $500 on the 2016 light-duty Rams and up to $1,000 on the 2015 and 2016 3500 cab chassis. Come see us today or visit us online at davidtaylorchrysler.com.
From the first time you hold your new puppy or kitten, a bond begins to grow. From that moment on, your pet becomes a special part of your family. Facing the death of this family member can be a very difficult and trying time. At Paws to Remember Pet Crematory, we understand how heartbreaking this can be because we've loved and lost pets too. In business in Murray for 13 years, Paws to Remember Pet Crematory offers pet families a dignified, affordable, and convenient alternative to the way we used to handle this loss. For your peace of mind, we offer only private, individual pet cremation in one of our two professional grade state-of-the-art pet crematories, completely separate from all other crematory facilities. Paws to Remember Pet Cremation gives you a special way to remember your special pet. To find out more about their services, contact them at 270-753-3411 or go by and see them at 311 North 4th Street in Murray. Paws to Remember Pet Cremation.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here to the Travis Turner Show. We thank you so much for being with us on 1340 WNBS, our show streaming live at 1340WNBS.com. We move high speed. Thanks to our friends at Time Warner Cable, and the show is just about to get exponentially better. Ed Chapman will be in studio in hour number two. I did not realize he would actually be here with us physically, and it's a scientific fact. We were talking studies earlier that show guests are 1,000% better when actually physically in the studio. So we'll look forward to having Ed with us here. The U.S. Olympic team being named today for basketball, and it's been interesting. And you know, you talk about the depth of talent in this country, and Ed and I will be addressing this concept here in a little bit. So many great players, because many great players have chosen not to play down in Rio, injury, fatigue, and concern about the conditions. Boy, I tell you what, it is just an absolute mess down in Rio, and we're just just a short period away from the 2016 Summer Olympics. But there's lots of stuff you can see there. Of course, you may have heard about the Zika virus and the concerns with that, the mosquito problems down there in Rio, the transmission of the Zika. But the financial and the socioeconomic infrastructure in Brazil is just an absolute disaster. I was reading some stuff. There's a piece from Joe Nocera of the New York Times that was published last week, and it's just one of really hundreds of pieces of work on the difficulties they have had in Brazil, the country dealing with financial difficulties. They've also had lots of corporate and government scandal there. I believe the current president's in the process of being impeached. Legal action being pursued there in that situation. The city of Rio de Janeiro, it is broke. The county of Rio de Janeiro is broke, and they've just had one major problem after another. But still looking at the guys that are coming in for the U.S. Olympic team. You've got Carmelo Anthony, Harrison Barnes, Jimmy Butler, DeMarcus Cousins, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Durant, Paul George, Draymond Green, Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, Kyle Lowry, and Klay Thompson. That's a pretty loaded roster right there. And, of course, you can stop and think about some of the guys that will not be on that team. But that's a pretty good group, and I would imagine they'll be good enough for gold, although as we've been talking and we will continue to discuss international basketball, there's so many good players out there around the globe, and there's been a lot of discussion and concern. I didn't realize this was a thing still, but I saw two or three different pieces over the weekend on people writing about what's wrong with American basketball. And it all stems, it's the reaction from so many foreign-born players being drafted in the NBA. And I thought, didn't we lose the stigma of there's great foreign talent all over the world? I mean, we've been through this, haven't we? This isn't a new concept, so we'll hit some of that with Ed here coming up in a little bit. Another thing I want to talk to Ed about, and if he's listening, and hopefully he is, it'd be nice if he was listening on his way in. I would feel more important if that was the case. But I also thought, in terms of tying in baseball, I want to get Ed's thoughts, and some of you guys can turn this, because we've done this stuff a lot during the years. We used to do some of it with Joey and Ed. We've done a lot of it with Brad since Brad has become our baseball guy. But I was thinking about the Cardinals. I was thinking about this last night. Who do you consider the greatest Cardinal to be? Who's the greatest Cardinal, and who's the most beloved Cardinal? Stan Musial may be the winner, by the way, in both of those categories, but there'd be lots of interesting names to consider. So, we'll kind of take a peek and jump into some of that there. But some of these basketball questions just really – it's very interesting to me. I saw one coach, he said, until we go to the shot clock in high school basketball, foreign players will continue to outnumber American players or match American players in terms of being drafted. And I'm like, could we use the shot clock in high school basketball? Maybe. Does that have anything to do with the quality of players and where they come from? I have trouble. By the way, why are we so offended by great players coming from other places? That's weird, right? Do we get upset because, hey, Roger Federer's Swiss? Boy, that makes, what's the matter with you American tennis players? Oh, hey, look at all these great Dominican and Venezuelan and Puerto Rican players. You guys aren't American. That's bad. No, I don't. I mean, I'm a huge patriot. I love my country. But it's sports. We can't respect that other people, other places are good. I don't know. That sometimes that's a little bizarre for me. So, and we'll throw some of this stuff on Ed's plate coming up here in just a little bit. So we are to the conclusion of hour number one. I'm going to get you guys to a commercial timeout right now. We'll let you hear from some of our very fine sponsors. And when we come back, we'll get the stage ready for our friend Ed Chapman. More on the way here on 1340 WNBS.